welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 181. Continuing our positional review of the 2024 fantasy baseball season. Infield, done. Catching, done. We head to the outfield here, part one of two parts. We'll do 1 through 40 if we get to 40 tonight, and we'll go pick up whatever we left off all the way to 80 on Tuesday, give or take. Talk some, you know, outliers and whatnot as usual. And then we'll head to FPAS. We'll get to that in a minute. You can find me on Twitter at BDNtrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Not as good as you.
That didn't take long.
No, not as good as you. Up in where? Monterey today, playing golf all day.
Yep. It's beautiful.
Must be nice. Yep, I'm sitting here slaving over this Bloom board, outfield 1 through 40. And for the show, and you're up there preparing for first pitch in the Bubba and the Bloom Invitational.
Coming from a guy that's been golfing once or twice a week for the last few weeks, so I don't really want to hear about this.
Must be nice.
Mine was a philanthropic event, so keep piling on.
All right, I still don't feel like a douche, but how'd you play?
Our team shot 12 under in the scramble, did not
win. That's good.
We played well. The putter was on fire. Driver, not so much. Should be a bit of a mess if the driver's off like that next Sunday.
So earlier today we sent out the tee times for the Bubba and the Bloom Invitational. I did leave out one minor detail: the course we're playing. I don't know how this is even possible in the middle of Phoenix, but the 18 holes we're playing, 15 of them have water on them. So it's gonna be a party.
Yeah, I was going to say bloodbath, but it's more going to be like Wet and Wild is the way I'm going to see this one. It's going to be something else. Yeah, a lot of drinking will be induced due to water balls. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Go to Costco. They're cheap, folks. Yep. Be my best recommendation.
Extra balls if you're joining us. Extra balls.
Yep. You know, if you're going to play golf with big fantasy, you need extra balls. So make sure you go take care of that. Anything else for FPAS before we head out? Because we're not going to be able to bug people with FPAS much longer.
Be like, thank God. Everyone's going to be like, thank God we don't have to keep talking about this. No, I don't. I don't have anything else. I'm absolutely stoked. Can't wait to see you. Next Thursday will be better. So we won't have a show next Thursday. I guess we'll do some show business, right? We won't have a show next Thursday because we won't be at FPAS yet, but it's Halloween. So we are
with our kiddos.
Yeah, we'll be with our kids. The live show will be Friday night. Not live for first pitch in person. I don't know when were you able to post it last year?
It was around Saturday morning, something like that. Like I usually get it sometimes Saturday, so it'll be up by the end of Saturday. It'll be on your podcast feeds.
Okay, so we got that. What other show?
Email.
We have an email address. We are joining the 1990s. So yes. If
no AOL though, so you don't do doo, 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 none of that.
Yeah, it's not at AOL.com. It is at Gmail. It's the new show email address, or I guess the only show email address is BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com. So we realized a few, or at least maybe more than we think, listen to the show, but are no longer on Twitter or never had Twitter and found us in different ways and don't really have a way to get in touch with us. So feel free to email the BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com with whatever, you know, feedback, questions for the show. We will, I've got it linked up so I can, I see those emails come in and Bubba gets a notification every time I log into it somehow, since it's a shared email. So that'll be fun.
Yep. Love it. It's good stuff. But we did mention last show, we're working on some things and that's one part of it. So that's a part of it to expand what Bubba and the Bloom brings to the table for you guys. And we'll have more as we keep fine-tuning things in the coming weeks. So that's just step one in the process. But what is not step one in the process, again, is outfield review for the 2024 fantasy baseball season. So, Ryan, this is your cue. Let's look at the board that you created for this evening. What should we – I'll get rid of the banner here as you maybe give a little pep talk of what we're looking at here.
All right, so we expanded it out a little bit. So the other positions so far were top 30. This one's going to be top 40. And then, like you said, we will go up to 80 next week, since outfield, of course, is quite a bit deeper and you need to roster more of them than the other positions. But same exact format here, right, where we are ordering this group by preseason ADP, and then we've got the end of year rankings and stats. So my usual exercise, looking at dollar values from the Fangraphs player rater, comparing this year to last year at outfield, the top 40 averaged $16.5 in value this season in 2024. And 2023, that was $17.5. So pretty much the same, if not slightly lower. I know last year, 2023, had the bonkers Ronald Acuna season. That was like a $60 season. Judge this year was, I say, only $52 on the Fangraphs player rater. So maybe that threw some stuff off, but probably at the top of the pool and outfield in aggregate. And again, we'll talk through some of these guys here, but in aggregate, it was kind of roughly the same level of production at the position from 2024 to 2023.
Something I want to clear up. We've probably mentioned it on previous shows. If you're looking at the board live on YouTube or later on YouTube, or when Ryan tweets it out, et cetera, when you look at the board, the greens, the reds, this is in comparison to other outfielders, correct? Just want to clarify that. It's not just all positions. Yes. So that'll help maybe people go, well, why so-and-so here and not whatever. This is in comparison to other outfielders. That's why when we get to next week, it'll probably be more red on there because obviously it's 41 through 80. So comparison to the top outfielders, my guess could be wrong. There could be standouts, but something to keep in mind when you're looking at the boards for this.
It's a good point, though, too, because we can use the board and look at like the white cells because that's average. So like your average hitter in the outfield for at least from the top 80 picks was like a 248 batting average, 20 homers, and 10 to 12 steals.
Yep.
On average. So that's actually kind of useful to know. I wonder what that looks like at the other positions.
Well, if you had five outfielders, just rough math, that's 100 homers, say 50 stolen bases and a 248. That helps a lot, actually. All things, if you get just average outfielders and then some of them peak, then you... So it says a lot to the position. I know, obviously, it helps common sense. Duh, Bubba, you idiot. But it's just interesting to think about when we're always trying to get outfielders super early because, yes, they could go ceiling mode on us at the same time. As long as you get solid average outfielders throughout the draft, you probably are sitting pretty compared to other positions where shortstop was super high and so on and so forth. So I thought that was interesting. And we talked about it a lot of the Fab shows. There's always outfielders on the waiver wire. Always.
If we're reviewing 2024, I think that's a really good kind of macro level takeaway. It did feel like every week when we were doing our Fab previews, it was outfield, outfield, outfield. And then like every now and then a corner or middle came up and it was like, oh, we got to get that guy because none of these other guys outfield did seem, and neither of us have quantified this, but in reviewing it every single week for 26, 27 weeks this season, outfield was pretty prevalent on the waiver wire. Another interesting takeaway, just a little bit higher level. There were so many outfielders being drafted in the first round entering the season. So, and we even see here six of the top eight picks overall were outfielders, as we'll talk through. Almost all of them were busts, which is pretty fascinating. But so you had Acuna, J-Rod, Betts, Tucker, Carroll. Betts could have been eligible elsewhere, but Tatis, Soto, Judge, and then Alvarez were all in that first round, or like with Judge, Alvarez, all at the end of that first round. And it's just kind of interesting that the back half of that group vastly outperformed your top five overall picks, which is, again, if we saw this board back in March, it'd be like, holy hell.
Yeah, top five, basically average home runs, slightly above average to above average steals, and most of them above average batting average. But like the power, you're thinking early, you're getting a ton of power, a lot of like 30, 30, 40, 40 type guys. And that did not happen this season in the outfield. So very telling, but let's get to that top five that you mentioned. We don't need to talk about Acuna injured, kind of self-explanatory.
Actually, one thing I did want to bring up with Acuna, we know nothing. Yes. Do you remember like back when
Acuna was first like pitch, first pick?
Yes. Automatic. Like Acuna was for it. I remember, and probably us saying it too, pretty much everyone saying there has never been a slam dunk pick like this, or hasn't been one since like
he's A-Rod. The LaDainian Tomlinson of this
era. We need to do third round reversals in baseball because it's such a an advantage to start with Acuna. Again, I'm not throwing shade. I'm sure I was.
I have some Acuna.
I'm not echoing that for sure. But it's just interesting. Like, and yes, we know what happened with Acuna, but even before the injury, it was like, this isn't good. I mean, the guy had four home runs. So
yeah, no power at all.
Yeah, it's just like I will probably always go back to this example of why we know nothing and we're trying to project humans in playing a game, and it's very difficult, no matter how much of a quote-unquote slam dunk it might look on the surface.
Yep, totally agree with that. Second off the board of the outfield position, ADP of 4, J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez, finished 16th at the position, 273, 20 homers, 24 stolen bases, and it seemed like another one of those years where it started out insanely bad, insanely slow, picked it up in the end. His final month, especially September, 7 bombs. Like, we saw J-Rod all of a sudden wake up, but most of the season was not ideal, especially from your top pick in the draft. But again, 23 years old. He's going to be 24 in December. Super young. What's your thoughts on what we saw from J-Rod? Because you probably watched more Mariners than most of us.
I did, and I just wrote up his forecaster box, actually, yesterday, too. So I was pretty encouraged, honestly, by what I saw from J-Rod. He needs to start cutting out these slow starts, because it seems to happen every single year that, you know, that I don't know if that's a thing with him, but it has been a trend. Don't know if that'll continue. Yeah, improved as a hitter a ton in the second half. Like, the power metrics kind of snapped right back to where they were previously in the second half. Had a pretty nasty ankle injury mid-season and pretty much didn't run all that often after that. So that cut into the 24 stolen bases. But I think this is, and we'll get to 2025 talk, but I think the rebound potential with J-Rod is high. And even like, given the, it was frustrating most of the season, because like you said, the true surge didn't really happen until September. Still finished like 16th. Like, it wasn't good, but wasn't.
It's almost first round. Well, 16th.
Outfielder. 16th outfielder.
Yeah.
But still, like, that's not like the end of the world. You did not win your league because you drafted J-Rod. Now you pile on top of that the other option was Bobby Witt. Yes. That hurts. Yeah. But
that hurts a lot.
Still. But J-Rod in a vacuum didn't crush you. But yeah, you want to see more.
As Michael C. says, J-Rod was getting hot in July, injured. Same in August. He may have got back-to-back 30. It was looking like it was getting there for sure.
Yeah. And I think he will next year. So,
all right, the third outfielder off the board, ADP of 5, Mookie Betts, finished 18th in the position. We've talked about him at least twice already at second base and shortstop. Anything else to add on Mookie, who's heating up in the postseason for anybody that cares?
Yeah, which shouldn't matter for next season for fantasy, but it does creep into our early drafting minds. No, I don't have much to add or anything to add on what we've already covered with Mookie.
All right, the fourth outfielder off the board, ADP of 7, finished 43rd at the position because the Astros suck at reporting things. Kyle Tucker hit 289, 23 homers, 11 steals over 78 games. Honestly, that's like a really, really great pace. The walks to K's, my God, amazing stuff. I'm a Kyle Tucker truther through and through, so people probably don't want to hear my biased opinions on Kyle Tucker. Heck, I took him in the first round of the two early drafts. So I
still ahead of Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I still have massive faith in Kyle Tucker. In hindsight, I've said it on other shows, I probably should have taken Betts, especially for the flexibility he brings to your team. But I like Tucker a ton. I still believe there's a 40-40 dude there. Like, I really, at least a 40-30. Like, I think there's a really, really talented ball player there. And it could come as early as next season. But what did you see with Kyle Tucker? Because once he got healthy, things are fine. It was just, man, it took forever to get healthy.
Yeah. I mean, that's if we're recapping 2024, I mean, that is the only story, right? He missed half the season, missed 3 months with a right shin contusion, which I guess turned out to be a break or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, that part was unfortunate, but it doesn't change anything for me with Kyle Tucker. This is still, I think, a top 5 outfielder going forward. I don't think we can ding him as an injury risk or anything like that, especially because he did come back and play. And, I mean, looked fine in September. 75 plate appearances, hit 365. I actually don't. I gave you shit for Tucker over Betts, but I don't think that's I don't think that's outlandish at all, really. I just like poking the bear.
Yep, it's fine. ADP is 9 right now. I have the men pick of 8 on him. So he's got anywhere from 8 to 11. So people drafting early are still in on Kyle Tucker. They're not wavering very much. The fifth outfielder off the board, ADP of 8, finished 8th at the position, which if you sit back and think of what people said about Corbin Carroll, finishing 8th is pretty, pretty good, especially when he was 8th off the board. Again, 8th outfielder, I know, comparison's sake, but you paid a premium and you still got something in return. 231 average, 22 homers, 35 steals. You mentioned buying back in on J-Rod. I loved what we saw from Corbin Carroll as the season went on.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. You have to. The guy was just absolutely nuts. In the second half, Corbin Carroll scored 74 runs. That's in half amazing. A season. Like, not only did he turn it around, he went 20-20 in the second half only, but also did benefit from the Diamondbacks being very good and hitting near the top of that lineup, at least sometimes. It looked terrible for Corbin Carroll. He was hitting below 200 with 2 home runs through the first 2 months of the season, yet he still finished 8th at outfielder. So you say you're like buying back in on Corbin Carroll. I think everybody is going to be, and Corbin Carroll is going to be very expensive, like much, much more so than Julio Rodriguez, because the way he finished and because like this power outage, we all think is because of this shoulder injury or whatever. And he totally, again, along the line of like Ronald Acuna and we know nothing, who would have thought Corbin Carroll pops 20 home runs in the second half of the season?
That's what I was saying. I just want 20 to 25 homers, period, because I just want him to steal me 40 to 50 bags and hit like 250 and score a million runs. I'm not expecting Corbin Carroll to light the world on fire. If he hits like 30-plus homers, oh, my God. Like, we are in a very happy place. And you're talking about a much heavier price than J-Rod. Corbin Carroll, 7th outfielder. J-Rod, 8th. 12.4 ADP to 13.4. Both a min of 9 and a max of 18. So they're going right next to each other right now.
I'd go Carroll.
I'd go Carroll as well. Right, yes. And literally, this could... it could burn up in our face because J-Rod is legit talent. So again, like I said, he's 23. Like, the dude's a beast. But I go Carroll as well. Loved what we saw from him. The 6th outfielder off the board, ADP of 8, just basically same as Carroll. Finished 42nd at the position, though, and that's Fernando Tatis Jr., one of my preseason MVP predictions. Hit 276, 21 homers, 11 steals in 102 games. Just hurt yet again for Fernando. Like, healthy Fernando, beast. Injured Fernando, can't do anything, obviously. So it's getting to the point, though. 102 games, played 141, 130, 59. When are we going to get like a full Fernando season is the question I have right now.
We don't know, but just like, I'll go back to my Jazz Chisholm commentary from the last show. Is like, we all know a full season Fernando Tatis is a first-round guy. And I think... there's no reason he can't do it. Like, I don't think Fernando Tatis is any more injury prone than, I mean, he had 635 plate appearances in 2023, like just didn't get hurt in 2023. And he happened to get hurt this year. So I don't really hold the injury stuff against Tatis really at all. And I don't know what his current ADP is or whatever, but like,
the same as Kyle Tucker.
Okay. So there's no discount at all. Yep. And I would take Kyle Tucker over Tatis, I think it's just a bad break if you drafted Tatis.
Literally.
Bad luck, bad break, good process. You think you're fine. You go back to that well again next year. But yeah, obviously you were disappointed whenever you take, you know, a player in the top 10 overall and he finishes as the 42nd outfielder. Granted, a lot of that was because he didn't play.
Yep, totally agree. Now it gets fun. The top two, we're going to start with number 2 at the outfield position. We discussed this on our recap of our Beer Bets show, and you could not have been disappointed with either of these guys. But the 10th outfielder off the board, ADP of 10, finished 2nd at the position, and that is one Bronx bomber named Juan Soto. Dude hit 288, 41 home runs. That's a career high. 128 runs scored, career high. 109 RBIs. Tied his 2nd most of his career, most is 110. seven steals. It's kind of, you know, he's not a big steals guy, but awesome plate skills as usual. Played in 157 games. That's four straight years of 155 straight if you don't count the 2020 season, of course. He's been reliable. He's been a beast at the plate. Free agent. We'll see where that goes, but that's another podcast. Juan Soto was great. Great first season in the Bronx. What are your thoughts on Juan Soto?
I don't really have much to add. I didn't think he could hit 288 at Yankee Stadium. I thought he could hit 40 home runs. I didn't think he could hit 288. And that's really where a lot of this, when you hit 288 ahead of Aaron Judge, like you're going to score 128 runs getting on base as often as Juan Soto does. So yeah, awesome year. You were not disappointed at all with taking Soto, even though if you took Soto over Judge, they did finish 1-2, but Judge was quite a bit higher.
And with that being said, I'll rise for the eighth outfielder off the board, ADP of 15. So he came on the turn because Ryan got him and Trey Turner on the turn. So he knows this very, very well. Aaron Judge finished first at the position, hit 322. That is a career high. 58 home runs, not a career high, which is insane.
Yeah, that's even more runs, that's even more shocking.
144 RBI is definitely a career high. 10 steals. What's amazing is, you know, forever it's like, could Judge play a full year? Could Judge? Two out of his last 3 years, at least 157 games, MVPs. Just absolute video game numbers. The year in between, 106 games, good numbers, but obviously a shortened season. So it's the whole thing. Like, if you want to take the chance, and people are, he is the ADP or 3.8 right now in drafts. What a season. And it's the second time now where if he plays at all, you get every bit of your money back and a whole lot more.
Well, not to keep beating that dead horse, but Aaron Judge was injury prone until he wasn't. Right? 600 plus plate appearances in three of the last four seasons. You mentioned 2023. That's when he ran into that. He's going back there on Friday night. That's where he ran into that wall in the LA outfield. Kind of a freaky thing. So, like, I mean, Aaron Judge, quite honestly, has been like a beacon of health since the COVID season. So, and it's actually interesting. I saw a tweet from our Lord, Todd Zola, who ran his early projections over at Masters Ball, and Aaron Judge came out number one for him ahead of Shohei Ohtani, which I can see that happening.
Yeah, because from a projection standpoint. Well, if Ohtani starts pitching again, projections will fall back a bit.
Yeah, and he's steal six. I know this is a little off topic, but like Aaron Judge, I would not be surprised at all if he's the number one projected batter in baseball for 2025.
It's fair to discuss because we don't really discuss Ohtani because we're not doing utility. So yeah, it's fine to throw him into the conversation right now. Really,
I know we have throngs of fans waiting for our UT only position recap.
Art, what are your thoughts on a 60-60 player? Basically, like, what are our thoughts on this? You know,
who else would we cover? Yet? Ozuna, Rook. Actually, it could be kind of juicy.
There's more than usual. Let's put it that way. But
yeah, it's a good point. Good
still
point.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
All right, the ninth outfielder off the board, ADP of 16, Yordan Alvarez, still finished fifth at the position, and that stands out to me just because it's just so frustrating with the knee injuries. It seems like he's always a downer, but still finished fifth at the position because he hits 308. That's one thing people love about drafting him is the batting average. Then the power, 35 homers, four straight years of 30-plus home runs. Counting stats down a bit, 88 and 86. And what's crazy to me, it felt like he missed a ton of time, still played 147 games.
Yeah,
like, not sure how that came to be. But in the end, Yordan got you production that you were looking for. So what are your thoughts when we saw from Yordan? Because it's still, he seems like he's always so close from a long IL stint. He just avoided it this past year.
He did. And it's just he's got those old man knees. What'd you call him? The
Greg Oden.
Greg Oden of baseball, which is just perfect. Like, he's this big young dude with 60-year-old kneecaps, but he gets it done. I did not think, I didn't have Yordan Alvarez, I don't think, on any teams. And when I built this board, I was like, really? He finished fifth in the outfield? Yeah. I feel like this was like he didn't do anything. But no, hell of a year for Yordan Alvarez. And I can't wait for the next reports, next February, when he reports when pitchers and catchers report. And my man's
Jake Taylor in Major League with ice bags taped to both his knees. And he's just like sitting there.
Yeah, doesn't play in spring training and doesn't need to. He can just roll out of bed and hit. I know that's kind of a cliche, but that really perfectly fits Jordan Alvarez. So, again, just looking at this board, seeing Juan Soto, Judge, Alvarez being finishing 2-1-5 respectively ahead of all of those kind of sexy top 10 overall picks is pretty wild. The market did get that one wrong in the first round of 2024.
And it feels like, I might be speaking out of school here, that most took those guys ahead of them for the steals upside, the 30-30, 40-40 type upside, because you know Soto's not going to run a ton. You don't think Judge is going to run a ton. We know Yordan ain't running. The fact he stole six bags, holy shnikes. Like, that's, like, I don't want Yordan running. Like, I want him trotting around the bases. That's what I want Yordan to do. So, I think that's where they fell, and now people are looking back going, maybe I get my steals elsewhere. Type situation later
on. Yeah. You can work with the four categories that Yordan brings.
Yep, for sure. All right. The 10th outfielder off the board. Now the next chunk of outfielders, things get interesting, folks. Like a lot of we'll say misses across the board here, leads the code into ADP.
Well, yeah, this was rough. Yeah.
Michael Harris the second was the 10th outfielder off the board, ADP of 28. So the end of the third round and a 15 teamer. Early third round in a 12 teamer. Not great, Bob. Not great. Hit 264. People loved him for batting average. That did not happen. 16 homers. That falls in line. Only 10 steals. Only 110 games as well due to injuries. But even when he played, it did not look promising this past season. Again, young, gets healthy. Things could change. But maybe we got to take a step back and maybe at best he's a 2020 guy with a good batting average. At worst, I think we saw potentially what it could be this past year.
Yeah, I almost feel like this is like your Groundhog Day guy, Michael Harris. If we go back to last year, this is someone who struggled badly very early, got hurt, and came back and surged in the second half. And that was why Michael Harris was going in the top 30 in 2024 drafts. To a somewhat lesser extent this season, it's kind of the same thing. Michael Harris started off really bad, or actually, I mean, not really bad, but wasn't good early on. Strained his hamstring in June, was out till mid-August, and then September. And then September, hit 316, hit 8 home runs in September, played the full month. And again, that's when he was stole just 2 bases, but that's when he was back and healthy. So I think Michael Harris, the way he finished, I don't know if there's going to be much of a discount on him in 2025, but certainly a disappointing, my biggest money league. Michael Harris was my second round pick. Strider was the first round pick, and that was tough to overcome when your second round pick finishes 61st at the position.
Yeah, it's rough, and maybe things turn around. The finish is strong. We've said that about a lot of guys so far, good finishes to the season. Is that because pitching started to dwindle, things heated up? There's a million questions to be played here, but he did it. That's all that matters in the end of it. But ADP's 40 right now. That's not a huge discount, so you still have to take him in the third round.
Ten pick this bad of a season, and he's 10 picks cheaper only than last year. So
something to keep in mind as we start prepping for 2025 pretty soon. All right, now this is gonna be fun. The 11th outfielder off the board, ADP of 41. So we had 10 in the top 28, there'll be a little bit of breather here because people probably start taking pitching in the third round type scenario. So Luis Robert Jr. comes off the board, finished 89th at the outfield. 89th for Lou Bob. 224, 14 homers. Did steal 23, which is impressive because he only played in 100 games.
Yeah,
And it's impressive also he stole 23 because he kept having lower body injuries to top it off, like groins and stuff like that. This is getting tougher and tougher. Like, he might get traded, hopefully. But looking at 2024, what a lost season for Lou Bob. It doesn't help. He's on the White Sox, and nothing's going to come from that.
Correct. The team context will be historically bad for Luis Robert. Now has pretty bad IL stints in 4 straight years. Just had his forecaster box as well. For the thing that stuck out for me with Lou Bob was the lack of power when he came back. I mean, even when he came back, he had almost 300 plate appearances in the second half. 7% barrel rate. League average is 10%. Like, that is for someone who popped 38 home runs last year, for the power to drop off that much is very concerning. Maybe injury induced. I don't know. I mean, that's the part that we have to kind of try and predict. But this could have been a lot worse, actually, for Luis Robert if he didn't. I mean, he stole like 20 bases in the second half. That was the saving grace. Otherwise, this was a just complete. It was kind of a partial disaster, but like full blown disaster if he doesn't swipe 20 bags in the second half. So
I'd love to do like a deeper dive and just see like where they're pitching to him, because like I'm looking at his O swings the same, but he's swung 7% less in the zone, 5% less just period. Contact rates in the zone was the same as the previous year, which is interesting. Same as his overall contact. So contact rates are pretty much in line, but he swung a lot less. Not sure exactly what to take out of that, just, you know, off the top. But I'm just thinking, like, in that lineup, why pitch to Lubob? Why? Why give him anything to hit? And maybe I'm just kind of trying to find excuses to why it was 7% barrel rate, because he is that good. But that does stand out a ton. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, he didn't. He made more contact, slightly more contact, and didn't walk as much in the second half. So I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't pitch the guy either.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering. If, like, he's not chasing as much. So when he swings, it's in the zone. But is it like, you know, curveball in the bottom corner of the zone? Like, there's a lot of desperate stuff like that.
He's not up there to walk.
He's not getting it put on, like,
when he can walk.
You know, the whole like bat speed or the like sweet spot stats, stuff like that. Probably not getting a whole lot of those. So. I'm curious to see how that panned out for Lubob, and that's a deeper dive probably for another day. All right, the 12th outfielder off the board, ADP of 47, finished 20th at the position, so not horrible. We talked about him at shortstop, I believe, is O'Neill Cruz with 21-22, 259. Like, honestly, you run with that. Now he's got that outfield eligibility to throw on top of it, shortstop outfield, but that's pretty positive as well.
Yeah, we won't dive too much into Cruz. We talked about him at shortstop. Barely qualified for outfield. Only had 23 games, but they made the switch. They must have made the switch in, like, I mean, I know they made it very late in the season. It was kind of random. It's just like one day he's an outfielder now, and it sounds like that's the case going forward. Yep. I don't know if O'Neill Cruz will have shortstop eligibility again in for the foreseeable future. So just get used to that new position eligibility. That's one of the first things we kind of have to shift our minds to when we start doing 2025 drafts, where all these guys are eligible at.
Yeah, he'll be shortstop outfield next year, but after that. Gonzo. And those, you know, injuries could change that. I think the Pirates, like, minor league depth's more infield related, so you move O'Neill to the outfield type deal. Oof. The 13th outfielder off the board.
Who we got?
ADP of 51.
Skip.
Finished 50th at the position. Randy Arozarena still went 20-20, which is honestly impressive.
Yeah,
as he hit 219, Tampa Bay, not great. Goes to Seattle, plays good for like a couple weeks. Then it just hit the skids in Seattle. Overall, he played like June and July, awesome months for Randy. And then it just went downhill in a hurry. Second half of the year is still much better than the first half when it comes to batting average. But, yeah, what a season is all I'm going to say, because this is a guy I think is a very, very good ball player, and I'd love to buy back in on him, but last year at least makes you take a step back and reconsider things.
Makes you think. I do, and honestly, the biggest thing that makes me think for next year with Randy is the move to Seattle. Like, that's kind of death in terms of both team context and ballpark. You know, Julio Rodriguez and Victor Robles, what their 2025 seasons look like, and Cal Raleigh, like that top half of that lineup could be good again. But I don't know. I'm going to take, so I drafted Arozarena in like the seventh round of our meatball draft. I'm always going to take the long view with these guys and go with the track record over one down year, and down might even be in quotation marks for Randy Arozarena, because like you said, he still went 20-20 in this quote unquote terrible year. And the batting average was terrible. Not gonna, you know, ignore that, but did improve, like you said, in the second half. K rate is pretty much in line with where it's been the last few seasons. A lot of this was BABIP induced. I know, you know, some people don't like to hear that or whatever, like that's always the stat you look at, but the strikeouts didn't really change. The batted ball profile, a few more fly balls. Barrel rate was the same as 21 and 22. So like the profile looks very similar for Randy Arozarena. It's just a like 50 point drop in BABIP compared to his last three seasons combined. So I think Randy Arozarena is a great turnaround candidate, but I took him in Tout Wars this past year, and I was extremely disappointed for much of the season for Arozarena.
Yep, I had plenty of shares of Randy, as I do every season. And looking at the 119 ADP, might be plenty of shares again this year.
Oh, I'm back in. Oh, yeah. That's the 119? That'll work.
Yeah, that'll play.
I might have the min on the guy. What's the min?
Randy, min's 93.
It's got to be me.
It could be you. Yep, could be you, my friend. All right, the 14th outfield. It is, there you go. 14th outfielder off the board, ADP of 58. Somehow finished better than Randy Arozarena. This kind of surprised me because I felt like Adelis Garcia had an even worse season. Dude at 224, 25 homers, 11 steals. Must have had Randy in the RBI department to help boost him to 39th at the position, because if I just looked at the didn't look at the rankings, I would have thought Adelis had a much worse season. Like, yeah. I was not starting Adelis for, and I think in September I said drop Adelis. Like, it was that bad.
Adelis had 85 RBI. Randy Arozarena had 60. So
there you go. There it is.
85 is a lot of RBI for someone who hit 224.
Yeah, hit in that middle of that Texas lineup. It wasn't their best year, but still a pretty darn good season.
Huh. Yeah, that somewhat salvaged things. I really like both Randy and Adelis going into the season. Like, that was a nice, I thought, little pocket of what we thought were consistent outfielders, and very much wrong on that.
Yes, that was a rough one. All right, the 15th outfielder off the board, ADP of 58, was Jazz Chisholm Jr., finished 12th at the position. We waxed poetically about Jazz at the third base position. Anything else to add about him? Because I think, again, it always comes down to health, but man, a full season in the Bronx in that lineup, whew, that could be a lot of fun.
Yep. Yep, and third base outfield is going to be super, super useful.
Very, very much so. The 16th outfielder off the board, ADP of 71, finished 27th at the position. It's Cody Bellinger, 266, 18 homers, 9 steals. We talked about him at first base. I know you're a Belly fan. I've always been kind of anti-Belly. Injuries got him again this season. Fluky injury, got hit by a pitch. So it wasn't like it was a full-on crazy thing. But what's your thoughts on Belly Bomb's 2024 season?
I think this was kind of expected. I don't think, like, last year he hit 26 home runs, but the power metrics were really bad. So I think most people thought it dipped down closer to 20, and that's pretty much where it did, despite some missed time with the injury. But it's kind of crazy. Late career Cody Bellinger is making a lot more contact than he used to, and he runs at least a little bit. I think this is a nice kind of like modest five category guy. And first base outfield totally helps with that. So we'll see where he plays next year.
Yes.
I don't think he has the option with the Cubs.
I'll check for you right now.
It's some type of option.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll be back in Chicago. It is a 20. It's a player option, so it's up to him to come back. And it make almost 27 mil if he comes back. I think he should come back after a season like that. I think he should come back, but hey, well, what do I know about how much money people should
make? What do we know? Nothing.
Nothing. I'm just big fantasy. All right. The 17th outfielder off the board, ADP of 72, right after Belly Bombs, finished 161st in the position. Worse than Ronald Acuna, the guy that tore his ACL. That is impressive stuff from one Nolan Jones. Everyone's darling in 2023. Guilty. 2020 season hit 297. In 2024, 3 homers, 5 steals, 227 in 79 games. Yeah, he played fewer games. He only played actually 27 fewer games than the previous season and finished that badly. Also, in 79 games, if he's as good as we or some of us think he is, he'd probably still be better than 3-5 and a 2-something average. So it was a bad, bad year for Nolan Jones.
It was, but like, he barely played. So, I mean, I don't know what you take away from this. Your guy is back Curlin. Tweeting. Curlin's back. Curlin, so yes, Curlin tweets. I'm going to. That's a really good point. Yep. If you were in on Nolan Jones last season, why would you not be in on him again in 2025 when he only played? How many games you say he played?
79.
I mean, no. So Curlin
still
tweets.
Still bad for 79 games.
Oh, trust me. And I'm not Nolan Jones was one of my top fades of 2024. Yeah. Like, I obviously didn't think it'd be this bad, but I was not. I'm just saying, if you spent a fourth, fifth round pick on Nolan Jones last year, What is Curlin says he's
254.
Yeah, so he's going outside the 200 top 200 in these early drafts. Will Curlin buy the dip? Yes. I think you do too. If you believed in Nolan Jones. I don't know I'll do it, but like I think it makes so much sense to go in there.
Yeah, because even if he's a 15-15 guy, we just talked about the average of 20 homers and 11 steals. Like if he's your outfielder five, he gets you 15-15 and hits 250, you're sitting real pretty right up there. And you're talking Coors, where things can spike a lot in Coors. So if he just gets healthy and gets going, doesn't have to be a stud, doesn't have to be a 30-30 bat anymore. Like he had to kind of be where you drafted him last year. Yes. This allows you a lot of flexibility. So yeah. I agree with – okay, let me rephrase. I think Curlin might be onto something there.
Yeah. Well stated. It must be election season. That was perfect political answer. If I'm taking the negative side on Nolan Jones, the reason I was out on him was just the atrocious plate approach. And then now you add on, I mean, this low back strain.
That scares me.
Which is, again, part of the reason why I think you can mostly throw out 2024. But as we say with back injuries, do they just vanish in the offseason? Sometimes not. I think that's still a lingering thing.
That's what I want to know, because it wasn't just like a one IL stint. It was multiple. No, he'd come back for a couple of games, have to go back. He'd be rehabbing and re-aggravate or injure something. Like it was a rough road with that back this past year. So we'll have to see. He's not that old, so it's kind of concerning. All right. The 18th outfielder off the board, ADP of 73, finished 28th at the position. That was after a very bad start. Very bad start. But then he hit the IL, and Wyatt Langford came back and started to show us why people are so high on Wyatt Langford. He finished hitting 253, 16 homers, 19 steals, scored 74 and drove in 74, which that stands out to me a lot with Wyatt Langford. And it's why he's going to go a lot higher in 2025. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those, we mentioned it with a lot of guys already, finishing the season strong. I think seeing it from a guy like Wyatt Langford was even more important than your Carrolls and your Julios of the world. This is a big, big important step.
I think this is, and there will undoubtedly be debate this offseason that we'll see. It's like, how much stock do you put in first half, second half splits for these players? I think Wyatt Langford is absolutely the type of player where you look into this, because the first half was his first exposure to major league pitching. Like, obviously not everyone hits the ground running, and Wyatt Langford certainly did not do that. Didn't hit a home run. I guess his first home run was an inside the park home run.
Inside the parker.
Didn't hit a true home run until, I don't know when, but I want to say June, something like that. So it was bad, but 11 homers, 12 steals at 246 in the second half. Like once he started to kind of get the hang of major league pitching. So I do think this is someone where you can certainly weight the second half results and skills more than you do the first half and put more stock into how he finished, as opposed to some of these more established guys where it's just kind of variance.
Yep, I'm with you on that. 19th, Mike Trout finished 164 at the position. Another lost season injury. Couldn't even get through a rehab assignment. Like played one rehab game, maybe. It just sucks. I don't have a whole lot to add. It's just another lost year for Mike Trout.
Yeah, more of the same, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, the 20th outfielder off the board, ADP of 89, finished 56 at the position, but this is another injury thing with Yelich. And we talked about backs coming back. This keeps coming back. Christian Yelich did hit 315, outstanding. That is the best he's hit since 2019. 11 homers, 21 steals, so a back-to-back 20 seasons, 19 or more in three straight years. That's a plus. Only played 73 games, though. Injuries, and even required back surgery. A lot of question marks for 2025, but what we saw in 2024 in those amount of games, very good, but again, only in 73 games.
It's crazy he did this in 73 games.
Yeah, that's a great stat line. Like the quote, on pace, is amazing.
I mean, yeah, mid-40 stolen bases, 25 home runs, hit over 300. This could have been a first round player if Yelich stayed healthy. So that's always been the rub with Christian Yelich. This is kind of a vintage Yelich season with both the ceiling but also the downside with the back. So let's just hope the back surgery kind of clears things out and he's reset and ready to go in 2025. Sometimes that's the case, sometimes that's not. I guess we'll find out a little bit more in the spring, but yeah, this is, at least early in draft season, one of those super high ceiling, pretty low floor type players.
All right, let's head to the right side of the board here, starting with number 21 off the board, ADP of 93, and that's Seiya Suzuki. We're starting to get to a better crop. We went through 11 through 20, had a lot of landmines, a lot of them. We're starting to get to a group where you waited on outfielders and you got at least decent returns for the most part from a chunk of these. What we're going to talk about here, yep. Seiya finished 17th at the position. So all things considered, from what we saw recently, pretty good. Finished with a 283 average, 285 in 2023, 21 homers compared to 20, 16 stolen bases was the big one. Runs and RBIs were almost identical. Played in 132 games instead of 138. We saw a guy get comfortable and healthy in the second half. And it's funny, you just keep scrolling through stats. You look at his barrels, his hard hits, so on and so forth. Almost identical to 2023, except the stolen bases. So everything we loved about Seiya, because you were big on him, I liked him a lot coming in the draft season. Maybe he didn't take the next step like so many of us hoped for, but in the end, we still got a stud player that put up a identical line and showed like glimpses of maybe something else. So what's your thoughts on what we saw in 2024?
Another Groundhog Day guy, just like Michael Harris. This was Seiya Suzuki. Like you mentioned, it was not only like the same stat line, steals different. It was the same injury. It's the same damn oblique. I don't know if it was the same oblique left or right, but whatever. Same body
type
part
of injury. Yes.
Same type of injury, which we were just talking about back injuries. Obliques still kind of scared the crap out of me because I remember Suzuki's injury just swinging and all of a sudden swinging and then wincing in pain. It's not a combo you want to see. But it's very similar to 2023. Once Seiya Suzuki was healthy in the second half, like this could be a top 15, 20 outfielder. You just got to stay on the field and not have that oblique. Not only take him out for a month or whatever, but then also it's probably like another month once he's back to kind of have full trust and bring that full bat speed back. So I will continue to be a resident of Suzuki stan and draft Seiya Suzuki next year.
Yep. And 104 ADP. So not shifting much from last year either, which is good shouldn't. To see.
Yeah.
All right, the 22nd outfielder off the board, ADP of 98, going right behind Seiya Suzuki in drafts right now, just like he did in 2024, is Brian Reynolds. Finished 15th at the position, and it's another one of those just boring, ho-hum, but 275 average, another great year there. 24 home runs, that's three out of the last 4 years, 24 homers. 10 steals, 73 runs, 88 RBIs, and he was a guy that scorched earth early, kind of quieted down, at least in the power department, because I remember we talked about him on like a home run per barrel. Episode and whatnot, kind of overachieving, I think it was on that, and then calmed down there, but still hit for average on a pretty poor Pittsburgh team. So Reynolds continues to be good, and I think the only thing holding them back from the next step is the Pirates.
Yeah, this is even down to like Brian Reynolds' first half, second half splits. Yes. At least the way HQ splits them up, exact same 275 batting average in both halves, exact same 5 steals in both halves, 13 homers, 11 homers. Like this dude is. Boring as hell, but this is the boring you want, and I don't really see that changing. Just another really solid year for Brian Reynolds. The team context is bad. I don't see that changing unless O'Neill Cruz just completely goes off, but I don't know what else Pittsburgh really has to fall back on there. So maybe a Nick Gonzalez breakout, but that seems like wish casting at this point. So
can Paul Skeens go Shohei Ohtani?
can Paul Skeens hit? Let's try that.
That's the question. There has been footage of a college home run, but I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon in the bigs. The 23rd outfielder off the board, ADP of 110, Lane Thomas, finished 38th at the position. Talk about a guy that fell off the map in the second half. It was well documented on this show. We went to Cleveland, really started to struggle, and then he started sitting versus right-handed pitching, so he became a platoon player. Now, really great postseason, at least in the power department, still only at 222. But on the season in 2024, 237, 15 homers, 32 steals. Like, it's not horrible, but, man, it fell off quickly for Lane Thomas, and you look like you're getting an amazing season, and it turned into a good, but you probably dropped him like I did towards the end.
Yeah, it's weird. It looked good, and then it was death in July and August. He did not hit a home run in 200 plate appearances in July and August. Stole 14 bags while not hitting homers, but went 2 months without a home run, and then popped 7 in September. It's like, what? So this is going to be one of the, I think, tougher projections heading into 2025 because Lane Thomas is still, I mean, this will be age 30 season next season. And Lane Thomas, I mean, he's still, despite this bad season, had 15 homers, 32 steals coming off a year where he had 20 steals and 28 homers. And again, young enough to where I don't think this is like some kind of age-related decline. I don't know what happened in the middle of the summer with Lane Thomas. If I had to kind of pick a side right now, I'm inclined to believe this bounces back and he has an even better year in 25. But looked really brutal there for a little bit, but kind of sandwiched around that that summer swoon was, I don't know, pretty decent numbers.
Yeah, no, he was putting up very good numbers, but it also just makes you think when we talk 2025 later on, like, do they still platoon him next year? Like, there's a lot of questions to be had there. Right.
I mean, what did he end up as? So a platoon, I'll pull up his platoon splits against right-handed pitching last year. I mean, it was on the aggregate, he had a 279 on base, which is not really startable in real life, and a 646 OPS, so not much power with that too. That is really bad against right-handed pitching.
That deserves a platoon, essentially. All right, the 24th outfielder off the board, ADP of 110, is a player that you and I both liked a lot going into draft season. I know we weren't alone in that discussion, but we liked him a lot. Finished 7th at the position, and that is one guy that I share a birthday with, 9 years apart, but I share a birthday with.
Recently.
Yes, he's a great October gentleman here, and that is one Teoscar Hernandez. Dude did it again. Like, we were pumped. Like, we liked him before he went to LA because he was a value, because he was a free agent. Then he went to LA and the price went up. Still a fan. Dude hit 272, best batting average since 2021, 33 home runs, most in his career, 12 stolen bases, tied for the most in his career, 99 RBIs, 84 runs scored. Just an all around awesome season. Hit 154, played through injuries late in the season. Like, Teoscar did it all. He flourished. Obviously, the good lineup helped a lot, but great year from Teoscar Hernandez. And curious to see where it goes from here because he is a free agent after this year. So I you'd imagine the Dodgers throw more money at him because they can. But regardless, heck of a season for a guy that will be 33. He's 32. He just turned 32, so he's good.
Hindsight's always 20/20 when we're reviewing these, but it still looks crazy to see, like, why was Teoscar Hernandez not being drafted in the top 20 outfielders? Because this is main event ADP, and I'm pretty sure he was signed.
Oh, he was signed for the main event.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's a good point.
To finish 7th is, I don't want to say expected. Like, that's more than I think we both thought, but I thought this was...
If he would have told us 15 to 20, we'd be like, yeah, that's about right. That's cool.
Yeah. But it's just funny to see. So to kind of round up, we'll get to Schwarber, I guess, next. But Teoscar, Reynolds, Suzuki, all outperforming basically that entire crew in front of him. Bellinger, Jones, Langford, Trout, Yelich. This was a nice pocket. I was
saying there's a if we basically skipped 11 through 20 in the outfield and came straight to here, you're sitting a lot happier in life. Let's put it that way. And it's crazy. That's how drafts work. The 25th outfielder, Ryan was hinting at here, ADP 111, right behind Teoscar Hernandez, finished 6th in that position. That is Schwarbaum's Kyle Schwarber. Dude hit 248. Didn't see that one coming. 38 home runs, 5 steals, 110 runs, 3 straight years of 100-plus runs scored, and 104 RBIs. Absolute monster stuff. And I think it's one of those, most people expected the batting average to be down. I think if anybody said, cool, I'll get 240, he goes a lot higher in drafts, but he didn't. And people that took the chance on him at ADP 111 reaped a massive reward, Ryan.
They did, and that really was the story with Kyle Schwarber, right? This is someone who hit 197 in 2023, despite having awesome, awesome stats and runs, homers, and RBI. That is a batting average killer. So Schwarber 248, that's going to be the question all offseason. Where does that settle? And one tick in Schwarber's favor, the strikeout rate stayed the same. The BABIP went very high, but the fly ball rate went down quite a bit. So it went down from like 50% each of the last two seasons down to 40, which is a little bit of a double-edged sword, right? It helps your batting average, hitting more ground balls and line drives. But that's kind of why Kyle Schwarber only, in air quotes, hit 38 home runs compared to 46 and 47 the last two seasons, because he hit a lot fewer. He hit fewer fly balls. So it's I don't know. You definitely take the 2024 version over the 23. I'd concede 10 home runs for 50 points of batting average. But I think like this version of Schwarber's probably 230 hitter, something like that, yep, as opposed to 250.
Yeah, because 248, 250, that's our average at the position. So the fact that he did that, overachieved, yeah, homers, right, still got you five steals, that's...
That's right. That cell is, we don't have any, we have Oregon Duck Green, we got Rare Steak Red, and we've just
very
got,
careful.
We've just got white, so I'll leave it at that.
Halloween spooky season ghost white. There you go.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
The 26th outfielder off the board, ADP of 113, Evan Carter. Finished the season 193, just an injury-riddled season. Ended with an injury that finished the season, obviously, with the back, which is never good. Again, a young 21, back problems. Dude, I'm 41. I have back problems. 21, that shouldn't work. 188 average, five homers, two steals. Many were excited about Evan Carter after the postseason we saw. I had trepidation. I was like, I don't know. Like, you know, we saw him in the postseason. What are we going to expect? Yada, yada. Didn't work out this year. I already bought in the early draft, but what's your thoughts on what we saw from Evan Carter? Because to me, it's just like an incomplete.
You drafted him?
I'm pretty sure I did in the too early draft. I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure I did.
The hell's wrong with you?
Hey, taking chances.
Yeah, I guess.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, this was an unmitigated disaster, and I mean honestly I didn't even know he had back issues entering the season. May not have. I don't know if he did
entering the season, but he.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a historical thing or what, but yeah, it's a similar type thing. Does an off season of rest kind of put that away or not? And 21, like, yeah, it is kind of weird to have that many back problems. I think I mentioned this on the show before, but my older brother, he was 21, already had four or five back surgeries. So maybe I should start calling him Evan Carter. Get to him a little bit. The biggest thing for Carter is he was not able to hit lefties in the minors. It's probably too small a sample to even look at his major league numbers against lefties. I'm sure it wasn't good. I think you are getting a platoon bat. And to get a platoon bat as a top 120 pick, which is where Carter was going, that's a tough proposition. That's a tough proposition.
I got him in round 19.
All right.
ADP 278.
That's worth a shot.
Yeah, that's where I was thinking.
A big drop, dude, from 113 for Evan Carter.
Yep, the mighty has fallen on that one. But till 21, you never know. 27th outfielder off the board. Talked about him plenty because he plays everywhere. Spencer Steer. Any other thoughts on that? He finished 25th at the outfield position.
No, like approaching mascot status in terms of us mentioning Spencer Steer every episode.
Yeah, I think we might go Steer over Castro. I'd be fine with that if we had that came up for a debate. Now it gets fun. 28th outfielder off the board. ADP of 125. Finished 14th at the position. That's one Jackson Churio. Dude started out kind of slow. Started a platoon for a second there, and then they realized, wait a minute, Yelich is out, let's let the dude play every day, and there it goes. 275 average, 21 homers, 22 steals for a 20-year-old ball player. That is stuff that, Ryan, we've watched baseball for a long time. Things you just don't see. You just don't see that. And the fact he lived up to the hype by actually getting the reps at the big league level, struggling at the big league level, and then showing us it, like the way I mentioned with Langford, I love the finish there. I like Churio's even better, and I'm not alone on this. I am not alone. I know that for a fact, but I am very excited about the future of Jackson Churio. Like, this could be a Ronald Acuna type dude, and I know that might be speaking too high, but I think I'm not that far off either.
I don't think. I mean, this is the top overall prospect, according to some. You know, Langford was up there, but this actually makes the Evan Carter thing sting even more, because if you took Carter, you're obviously willing to go with a rookie, and you picked Carter over Churio, and that's a big difference. You covered Churio well. I would just I would add the similar thing that I said about Langford. I'm very interested to see how the second half looks, and I weigh that more. And Jackson Churio, remember midseason, he was struggling so bad he was losing playing time.
Yep.
I mean, it was a pretty crowded Milwaukee outfield at the time, but What a turnaround for Churio, who, God, with the second round pick, third round pick next year, you're absolutely going to have to pay up. But I top five overall potential, and it could come as early as 2025.
ADP 23 right now.
My 11th, word.
11th outfielder off the board. It's gone as high as 16th.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And so 11th outfielder, 23rd overall.
Yeah. So over half, almost half the first.
Half the first 25 picks are outfielders.
That's nuts.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Michael C says, I'm in a 50 round, 12 team NFBC 50, I believe that would be. And someone took him middle of the second round and didn't surprise me, but sniped me. No, I agree. Yeah, if you want him, you have to.
Yeah. You're passing up some great, great players with track records, but I get it. I totally get it.
If he is that Acuna type dude, you're going to laugh next year when we say, oh, he was a 22nd pick. Like, you're going to laugh at that. So that's just one of those things. One of those things. All right, your boy coming up here, 29th outfielder off the board, ADP of 129, finished 58th at the position. And this next year, he'll be 35 most of the year. Eventually, he'll turn 36. That's George Springer. 220 average, 19 homers, 16 steals. So power speed was good. Batting average dropped 8 ton, so did the BABIP. What are your thoughts on George Springer? This is the guy that you were in full support of throughout the season.
Yeah, and it looked pretty dire for a good chunk of time there because George Springer, I remember the questions coming up. Do we cut him even in 15 teamers because the first half was so bad? Did somewhat salvage things. And like you said, Bubba, the power speed was still pretty good, right? 19 homers, 16 steals. That's not that bad. I think your question is, and with the batting average, yeah, it was down. The strikeout rate stayed pretty stable. So I'm not super worried. It's just what's the aging curve looking like here? What are we doing with Springer, who hasn't been the beacon of health for a lot of his career, and now, like you said, will be 35. Does he have one more good season in him, or does this start to kind of drop? That's the question you're going to be asking yourself at the draft table next year.
And Joe Arrico, earmuffs, what's Toronto going to look like next year? It's a whole nother situation,
man. We should just at the live show at First Pitch, we should just start bashing Toronto, and
it's so easy though.
Get Arrico going in the back of the room, or maybe say Toronto's great, and then that'll really fire him up.
Yeah, he'll get. Yeah, you guys are. No, it could work. Reverse psychology, just
reverse
really
the reverse jinx with Arrico. Get him up there. Defend his team.
30th outfielder out the board, ADP of 132, finished 22nd at the position as one Nick Castellanos, 23 homers, 6 steals. That's fine. 80 runs, 86 RBIs. You'd hope for more, but RBIs, but that's fine. 254 average, took a bit of a dip. So it's weird because everyone, at least it sounded like everyone's the wrong track. It sounded like many thought it was just garbage year for Nick Castellanos. But if you look at his stat line, like not that far off of what you expect from Nick Castellanos. And he's the 30th outfielder drafted, and he was the 22nd outfielder ranked. Like, that in return is actually a good season from Nick Castellanos.
And it's one of those. He had his worst season, or he had his worst month in April when everyone's watching every at bat, and that's when that narrative starts to form, right? Castellanos hit 183 with 2 home runs in April. Every other month this season, Castellanos had 4 or more home runs. The last 4 months of the season hit 275 or more in every single month. So again, it's just that kind of like, this was a fine year for Castellanos. It's just, he started off slow and everyone overreacts to April. If this had been flipped and his worst season was September, or his worst month was September, would anyone even know? And probably not, unless you're sweating out your leagues at the end of the year. So fine year for Castellanos, turned out to be a value. Picked 30th and finished 22nd at the position.
All righty, we go to 31st outfielder off the board. One of the best values we've seen so far, folks. ADP of 135, Jarren Duran finished 4th at the outfield position. And there was high expectations for Jarren Duran heading into the season, but I don't think many knew how much power Jarren Duran could actually have. I think that was the deterrent from drafting him early. Dude popped 21 home runs in 160 games this past year. 34 steals, 111 runs scored, 75 RBIs while hitting 285. Those are big boy numbers. Those are top 5, 10 outfield draft pick numbers, obviously 4th of the position. So we're going to see a lot of that discussion later on. But what's your thoughts on what we saw from Jarren Duran? Monster, monster first full season. Primary leadoff man for Boston and took advantage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think people expected the power to jump like that. I certainly did not. The stolen base success rate was awesome. This is a legit 30 stolen base guy. The strikeout rate continues to improve each season in the majors. And I think really the last thing that people were off of with Duran, right, was the health. I mean, entering the season, he had a total of 697 plate appearances over three seasons. And then had 735 plate appearances. That is absolutely bonkers. So, and probably not repeatable, but again, I'll go back to like, people were worried about the injuries, and then I shouldn't keep saying people. Like, I am one of these people. You know, that was one of the drawbacks with Jaren Duran was volume, and turned out 735 PA. It's nuts.
Yep, pretty good. I'm going to kind of go through these next two quickly unless you have more to add to it. But Jordan Walker was the 32nd outfielder off the board, ADP of 143, finished 199th at the position, hitting 201 with five homers and one steal. Started to look better in September once he started playing regularly. I'll give him that much. Still not 100% sold on Jordan Walker, but he is also very young. Maybe he figures something out. But just another disastrous season, two in a row for Jordan Walker.
Yep, two in a row. So one of these years, right? Maybe. Still maybe. Super young, but was not this year. Same with Esteri Ruiz up next here.
Yep, Esteri Ruiz, ADP 157, 33rd outfielder, finished 215th. That is a new, I think, career number on these shows so far. That's impressive. 200 average, two homers, five steals. I don't have a whole lot to add. Dude was hurt. When he wasn't hurt, he platooned. It was just bad all around.
Yeah, wore that... last dive bar bracelet?
Yep.
And sent down.
Got excommunicated from the tribe after that.
That's right. Yeah, just bizarre stuff. But yeah, then got hurt and yeah. Yep.
All right. Now we get some more fun on the board here. ADP of 160, the 34th outfielder off the board, finished 10th at the position. Anthony Santander, 44 home runs, previous career high, 33. 91 runs scored, 102 RBIs. Both career highs, hit 235. So even with a down batting average year, everything flourished. 155 games. He played 150 in 3+ seasons, which is big boy stuff. Going to be a free agent, but awesome season. I have some mixed thoughts. But I want to hear your thoughts first on what we saw from Santander, because if you're going after him, you are buying a career season, folks. That's all I'm going to say.
And most of the time that does not work out, right? Like, and it's still like the regress to what question. It's always that. Like, Santander's still fine. Even if he goes back to 2022, 2023, like, that's good. It's good. Yeah, but you are definitely buying. I don't think, like, this was the quietest 44 home run season, yes. of all time.
Yes.
I think this is more, and we'll see where he lands. I think he's more a mid-30s home run hitter, but might hit higher than 235, so might make some of that up with a higher batting average next year. But yes, you are buying someone off a career year, but if we're talking just 2024, this was one of the best outfield values that was going in the mid rounds.
Nope. Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolute amazing season from Santander. So if you took that dip, almost feels better than drafting Schwarber where you drafted Schwarber, honestly. So that's pretty fun stuff as well.
Yeah, good point.
All right, the 35th outfielder off the board, ADP of 163, his Orioles teammate. Cedric Mullins finished 35th at the position. It's another one of those kind of tale of two seasons with Ced. Finished with a 234 average, 18 homers, 32 steals. So that is a plus in the power speed department. At one point, looked like he was losing his job, then came back to get it every day and flourished to finish the season. So kind of a catch. Did you hold on and enjoy the benefits of hanging on type things with Cedric Mullins?
I feel like this was a tale of like 10 seasons. It was such a roller coaster, just up and down. It's funny, for all those peaks and valleys, he basically returned where he was drafted at. It's just funny. So in April and September, Ced Mullins had 10 homers and 13 steals. So pretty much half his production in 2 months. And then the middle was that's where the struggles were. So for as much in season craziness as there was, Cedric Mullins was fine where you took him.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, final five for tonight here. 36th outfielder off the board, ADP of 164. Riley Green finished 24th at the position. You know, for your first full year, not too shabby. 24 home runs, 82 runs scored, and 74 RBIs. Only four steals, though. Hit 262. A lot of good came in this season. There were some struggles that most young players would see, but in the end, very strong season. For Riley Green, age 24 season for Riley Green. So what's your thoughts on what we saw in 2024? Because I think there's obviously more to come from this big man.
Yeah, a very nice step forward. Again, you mentioned first full season. That's always really good to see. I'm still waiting for Riley Green to run. I don't know if that's going to happen. I guess he wasn't like a huge stolen base guy in the minors, a career high of 16 bags. But yeah, only four steals is somewhat disappointing, but that's probably just who he is at this point, which is a good player with, I think, an even higher ceiling given he is just 24 and will be entering his second full major league season next year.
All right, 37th outfielder off the board, ADP of 165, finished 153 at the position, and a big fat one of these for me, big fat L on this one. Chaz McCormick, between injuries and just no production at all, 211, five homers, six steals, disastrous.
Correct. Yeah. Very much so. Very, very sexy pick. Very sexy name in 2024 drafts. I was on Chaz McCormick. I did not expect this. I did not expect this at all.
Like, there's steps back and then there's falling off a cliff.
Yeah, this was falling off a cliff. When things looked honestly pretty good for Chaz McCormick, both above and below the surface entering the season. This is one of those where maybe you look back and try and learn something, or you just kind of say sometimes this happens.
Sometimes you say you can't predict baseball.
Right.
All right, 38th outfielder off the board, ADP of 165, finished 95th at the position, Christopher Morel. We talked about him at third base. Anything to add on Morel?
Nope.
All right, ADP of 188, the 39th outfielder off the board, finished 178, Henry Davis. Talked about him at catcher. Anything to add there?
Man, that's rare steak red, man. Look at that. 144, rare, man, one.
That's almost mooing still, folks. That's some beef tartare right there.
That thing is still going. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that's rough right there. All right, the 40th outfielder off the board to wrap things up here. ADP of 190, finished 19th at the position. So another nice value if you waited in drafts. And honestly, I know it's hindsight, but you look at Ian Happ's stat lines, it's like, why did he go 190 from what the dude does year? And I'm guilty, obviously. I didn't help the cause on that, but 25 homers, 13 steals, 89 and 86 in the runs and RBIs, 243 average, 153 games, 148 plus for four straight years, 20 plus homers in three out of four. It's one of those guys, like, he might not peak, but that's called consistency, folks.
Oh, yeah. Ian Happ, the coffee man, is awesome. He is just solid, not flashy, but cannot argue with the last two seasons, 20-plus homers, 27 total steals. Not the best batting average guy out there, but plays every single day, racks up runs, RBI. This is someone who, honestly, probably his ADP hasn't moved up that much. I would guess like 150, 160 up from 190, and I'm still probably in
142.
Yep. 142, yeah.
Yeah, not a ton. Still 50 picks, I guess, but yeah, not a ton.
He's good. He's very good.
He's very, very good.
And he compiles.
Yep. Leading off helps a ton. He usually leads off for the most part. Not all the time, but usually. Any final thoughts on this top 40? Because obviously we talked about the top, handful not doing great, then the, 6 through 10, then the next 10 not great, and then you got some value. Speed scattered throughout most of it. Power can be found late. Any kind of other, I guess, macro thoughts looking at the board.
The last kind of big thing was batting average. I didn't really look at this at the top, like pretty much totally fell off a cliff after your top 10 ADP. There's a lot of green batting average, but not much after that. Really, Christian Yelich is the only hitter who hit 290 that was drafted outside the top 10 at the position. So that's somewhat notable, but I don't know. Just like with every position, it's just funny to see, to look back and see, we just think ADP is this like gospel. And projections are this, and it's just so crazy to see like the Evan Carter versus Jackson Churio, the Brian Reynolds versus Lane Thomas, just guys going right next to each other that had
like Lane Thomas, Teoscar and Kyle Schwarber all right there. Boom, boom, boom.
Exactly. Jaron Duran right in front of Jordan Walker, like, and Esteri Ruiz. I know different types of players a little bit, but it's just those decisions make, we say this every draft season, makes such a difference how your team turns out.
Well, heck, 21 through 40 had eight of the top 20 outfielders.
Yeah, it was a pretty deep, it was a good performance from the middle class.
Yeah.
From the middle class.
It's typical for this time of year. Good.
As I continue to lean into electionism.
Yes. I was about to say, you're just hitting all the bullet points and making me bite my tongue all over
the place. Not advisable. Not advisable at this point.
On that note, let's talk about some listener questions here. Talking about for the people. Let's see what we have here. Our buddy SMMS79MS says, was the resurgence at the position surprising, or in hindsight, should we have seen it coming? It feels like it was a place to gain an edge last year in the draft room.
I think it was a place to gain an edge in the middle rounds. I think if you went super early, like we said, the cream of the crop was not really the cream of the crop this year at outfield. And again, as I mentioned, the draft values for the top 40 for this year versus last year were pretty much the same. So it wasn't like a super position wide resurgence, but that middle class was pretty strong, which is good.
Yeah, and it needed to be with requiring taking other positions early to get the boom. So that's good that it panned out that way.
Right, right.
Thomas Travato says, what do we do, or asks, what do we do with Lubob next year? The White Sox are a black hole with no hope in sight. I'm honestly like debating just avoiding Lubob and suffering the consequences if he figures it out.
I do too. I agree. I can't imagine the runs in RBI being that great. The team context is just so bad.
It's like a Zach Geloff line.
Yeah.
It is really. Another question from Travato. What do we think is the floor for Wyatt Langford based on this year's production? I think his September priced me out at 2025. What do you think? I'll let you speak first.
You could argue the floor is what we saw this year because the first half was so bad. 253, 16 homers, 19 stolen bases. That's, he could conceivably fall off in year two. That does happen. But I think like a realistic floor is what we saw from this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty. If that's a floor, I'll take good. That a lot. Yeah, well, sign me up. Andrew Armour says, thoughts on Wood and his outfield ranking for next season. We'll talk more about James Wood probably on the next show. But right now, James Wood early ADP is 50, 16th outfielder off the board between Harris and Schwarbaum's.
Yeah, because James Wood was
a beast.
Was an absolute beast. I don't see myself taking James Wood, but that ADP is certainly justifiable. I do think it's going to be that kind of cat and mouse game of adjustments in Wood's first full season, but can't argue with someone who had 9 homers, 14 steals at 264 in like half a season, his at first 21, exposure at 21 years old. Like exactly, we talk about Churio. I mean,
Churio's the exception of the rule, folks.
But this could be a cheer. This could be a
100%. This is another guy that could be 30-30 and wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
Like, very doable. Our buddy BP at futures_bet says, who finishes higher on the list next year, Churio or Duran? I'm going Churio. No slight on Duran.
Yeah, I'll lean Duran, but I'm not doing a beer bet on it yet.
That's fair. It's close. Like, it's a fair question.
It's a really good question. It's a really good question.
I'm just going to keep leaning, and I think Cheerio's the next big thing, and I better have put my money where my mouth is at some point. And our buddy Michael Cicchini says, Evan Carter is finally healthy. Any intrigue at the very low price? I am, but his splits are versus lefties are not good. I am. I already took the chance, like I said, but I get it. If they want to platoon him, that's going to put a hamper on things.
Yep, agreed. I agree that the lefty splits are a major concern, but I also agree that the price is super cheap. I don't know if I agree that we know with certainty that he's healthy, but we'll see.
Yeah, I might be saying stuff. I still need to see it type thing. With the backs, I need to see him go out there and actually full go situation, but all we can do is go off of what we have right now. All right, Ryan, final thoughts. Outfield part one, 40 players done and basically on time. Yeah. What do you got for us? What else?
You guided the ship well. It was a lot to cover in a couple minutes over, but that's fine. I don't have any final thoughts. I'm finally looking forward to the World Series starting Friday night.
Yes,
you only took finally a week. Back.
Yeah, that'll be
it
great.
It has been like a week, right? When the hell did they last
Sunday.
Play?
Sunday. They played Sunday, so basically it feels like a week. Basically a work week. Work week in the bags. So, yeah. Yeah, so that'll be fun. Looking forward to that tomorrow night. Then you got a full week into football, college football, say that. And, man, a week away. So looking forward to it. We'll be back with you guys on Tuesday with Outfield Part 2, 41 through 80, and some of the breakouts from the season, which kind of already had some in reality. But we'll go deeper at the position because there are so many that we need to roster, as Ryan said at the beginning of the show. But until then, make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric. And until next time, this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 181. Catch y'all later.